Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard. Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour Big Bang Barbecue. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, Denver to Dover, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Thanks for being with us, everybody. Good show coming up for you. ESPN reporter Marty Smith. You may have seen Marty Smith's America. He is all over College Game Day. College football is almost here. We'll talk college football with him. Also, he's the author of a new book called Never Settle, anecdotes from around his career, interviewing really fantastic people in the sports world. We'll talk to Marty, one of my favorite ESPN reporters out there and storytellers, coming up here in hour number three of the show. Elsewhere around the DA this morning, the best and worst players weekend for MLB is coming up. We've got the nicknames for all of the players weekend uniforms. The NCAA being accused of creating a, quote, Rich Paul rule. Brady has put his house up for sale. Does that suggest the end of the line for Tommy 12? Antonio Brown and frostbite. And USA Today has unveiled its top 100 NFL teams ever to team with the 100th anniversary of the NFL. We will go over whether it is legit or whether it is bunk. That is all coming up this morning on the DA Show. Any of those topics you want to jump in on, let's do it. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Last night was the much-anticipated debut of Season 14 of Hard Knocks. Much-anticipated because it's the Oakland Raiders, or should I say the Raiders. Derek Carr, last year, I didn't cry. Antonio Brown, shooting his way out of town in Pittsburgh, arriving in a hot air balloon. Richie Incognito, the bad boy of the NFL, getting one final shot. The Raiders, 1 foot in Oakland, 1 foot in Las Vegas. All of this stuffed into the Hard Knocks burrito with the NFL Films treatment. Look, frankly, watching last night's episode one, my biggest takeaway was a takeaway I have every single year watching Hard Knocks. Damn it, NFL Films is good. I mean, damn, there is nothing like the NFL Films treatment. There's just nothing like it. We don't have anything close to this in sports media storytelling. Now, I might be a little partial. I might be a little biased. I grew up absolutely loving NFL Films and collecting the VHS tapes and watching them ad nauseum. And when they were on TV, taping them on a VCR and watching them a million times over. But when you just see the shots, the footage, the music mix, the editing, the storytelling, the creation of characters, the audio, and then the vintage footage. Last night they brought in footage that was 20 years old of John Madden on the seven-man blocking sled. Then they remixed Black and Yellow. They also remixed The Autumn Wind is a Raider. The whole thing is so damn beautiful that even if you can't stand what you're watching in terms of the characters of the show, in this case, Raiders players, Raiders executives, John Gruden, what have you, you watch it and you go, this is just beautiful movie making. But Gruden, of course, has to be the star of the show because John Gruden is John Gruden. And I have taken plenty of shots at John Gruden while he was a broadcaster and now as the head coach of the Raiders. Look, here is my overall thoughts on John Gruden. Once upon a time, Gruden was a tremendous football coach. A guy that was going to wake up at 3:15 in the morning, get extraordinarily little sleep, go to bed late, and pour over every piece of film and just devote his entire energy and life into winning. And that he was inspired by coaches of the 70s and the 80s and ended up capturing that part of what could make him great in the late 90s, early 2000s. And I think when he got all the power in Tampa Bay, when he ended up winning a Super Bowl with the Buccaneers, I think he lost an edge. And I think at that point in time, he lost an edge and then began gravitating to becoming more of a figurehead in Tampa, far less effective than he was in Oakland, and more of a caricature. I think he began to get into his own ego and eventually fired in Tampa, becomes an analyst, and again, becomes more of a character than an actual football X's and O's coach. And you need some character. I mean, this show is a pretty good encapsulation of you have to keep things interesting. You can't just do droning on and on about facts in the sports media landscape. So him becoming an analyst, but then also having a show, a showmanship, really worked. But I don't think he ever lost that when he came back to the Raiders. And I think this has been a pretty easy money grab for him because Mark Davis desperately wanted somebody to shepherd this franchise into Las Vegas. He wanted the caricature of somebody that Raiders fans could latch on to, remembering the last time they were great. And he was kind of more of a marketer and Chucky than he was a head coach. And so I've taken shots at that part of what I think is John Gruden's end game here. Big fat check and detached from the actual intensity that it takes to build a champion and to coach instead of being a character, dating back to when he was hired and right through today. And even yesterday, I did an entire segment on what I thought was very obvious evidence that he is now more marketer than head coach when just sound bites that he has given in training camp was lavishing praise on Nathan Peterman, which is like, what? And admitting that Antonio Brown, he's expecting more drama from, almost welcoming the drama and the circus of Antonio Brown. And it just feels like he's more marketer than anything else. So last night, our first chance to get behind the scenes with Gruden with episode one of Hard Knocks. And admittedly, there were some moments that I really liked out of John Gruden. And I think today, after you watch that, there might be more support for John Gruden instead of just the clownish, buffoonish, Raiders. Shan, we need football players. So could Hard Knocks rehab Gruden's reputation? The series begins with a very emotional speech from Gruden, which you will hear right now. It is where we begin. You're cold open.
Everybody right now has dreams, don't they, guys? All right, everybody in the NFL, I have a dream of making it in the NFL. I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares. You guys with me on that? You got to end somebody's dream. You got to take their job. You got to take their heart. Are you guys clear about this NFL now? We're not trying to go to the Peach Bowl. We're not trying to go to the Gator Bowl or the Blue Bonnet Bowl. We're trying to go to the Super Bowl.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
All right, so there's an element of that that is classic football Al Pacino in Any Given Sunday. I'm not into dreams, man. I'm into nightmares. Take somebody's job. This is not the Peach Bowl. My first thing is, you're asking a bunch of kids born in the 90s about the Blue Bonnet Bowl? Dude, how dated is that reference? Honestly, if you would have said the Tax Slayer Bowl, they would have understood it more than the Gator Bowl. And John Gruden has said, I want to take football back to the 90s. And now he's referencing the Blue Bonnet Bowl? Oh, God. That part of it, I rolled my eyes. That part of it, I said, this is the act. This is the Gruden act for the cameras that I just, again, keep seeing the cartoon version of a head coach, and that doesn't work. It doesn't work. But I'll say this. I thought the best part of the episode last night in terms of John Gruden were the final scenes. Alumni Day with the Raiders, when they had all of these old former Raiders there. They honored the passing of Cliff Branch. Gruden gave a little speech about the significance of Cliff Branch, one of the best wide receivers in franchise history, and was talking to everybody's wife and kids and getting to know them, invited them over for dinner, and really connecting on a personal level. And I do believe that's an enormous part of coaching in today's day and age, and perhaps for all time. I think it's softened over the years. I think you could get away with less of that back in the 50s, 60s, 70s. Now with the modern player, I think they really need to know that you care about them, since you're going to push them, and you have to do so by caring about other things around them, like their family, their interests, their kids, their wives, their parents. That last scene from Gruden, I said, oh, that's the part of John Gruden that can work in 2019. Guys wanting to play for him because they care. But the whole, I'm here to take nightmares, take dreams away. You got that, men? That, no, coaches don't speak like that. I mean, come on. You think Bill Belichick is out there going, I'm here to create nightmares? No. No, you think Nick Saban says, we're here to crush dreams, men. We're here to create nightmares. No, that's not what coaches do. And that is the part of Gruden that I go, come on. You're just playing a role. I think Hard Knocks can rehabilitate Gruden's rep if he shows more of the real side of John Gruden instead of more of the Hollywood side of Gruden. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. And yet Mraz is such an easy mark on something like this. You love that Any Given Sunday Hollywood football stuff.
I had a slight tear fall down my cheek when he said, take somebody's dream, make it a nightmare. I was ready to run through the TV. I looked over at my dad in such disappointment. He never inspired me that way. I'm all in on the Raiders this year. AFC West champs.
Oh, stop it. You are not. But you think that Gruden's largely a bozo as well. You think that this series can rehabilitate what you think about him?
I certainly woke up this morning, got on a little Long Island Railroad train. I said to myself, you know what? Maybe John Gruden's a little smarter than I give him credit for. Maybe John Gruden is a better coach than I give him credit for. Because all I thought about for John Gruden last year leaning in is what a bozo he is and how he's going to run the Raiders into the ground, that he's never going to make it to the end of this contract. And getting to see a little behind the scenes of Gruden, I said, you know what? This guy's a guy I'd want to play for.
Well, he still won't make it to the end of the contract as a head coach. There's no way he's coaching in the NFL as head coach 9 years from now. No way.
I largely agree with you, but After what I saw last night, I don't know.
What? Last night changed what you think he's going to do 9 years from now?
I mean, his age, look, no coach lasts that long. But as far as success, I didn't think he would last 9 years because I thought he would fizzle after 3 years. They'd put him up there. I think the Raiders might have a little something.
They went 4-12 last year, sure. And you watched one episode of Hard Knocks and now think that they're going to turn it around and he's going to last 9 years.
This speaks to the production value of NFL films. It really does. No, but I do. How do you not believe at least a little more in Gruden and the Raiders after watching last night?
I need a bigger sample size.
I agree. I know this sounds outrageous, but...
You think?
But you didn't walk away last night. Like, last year, you walked away episode one knowing Hugh Jackson was an idiot.
Fair.
I walked away last night thinking to myself, Gruden connects with these players. Gruden can still inspire. Gruden might be a good head coach. Now, I could be proven wrong the next 4 weeks, and I still think with a team with Richie Incognito and Vontaze Perfect and Antonio Brown is going to combust, I get all that. But Gruden might be just the guy in that locker room to rally everybody together.
Oh, man. What an easy Mark Mraz is. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4227. We'll get your thoughts on the debut episode of Hard Knocks with the Raiders. Twitter, DA on CBS. Also, when we come back, Players Weekend in Major League Baseball. The nicknames are in. We'll do the best and the worst for Players Weekend nicknames coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
The way sports talk was meant to be, on an imaginary spaceship.
Como esta, DA? I can see it up in the air. The mothership's above east the coast of Florida. Beam me up, my man.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome on up! Thanks for being with us on a fine Wednesday. Remember, there are so many different ways you can listen to the show on terrestrial radio. Check us out on any of the CBS Sports Radio affiliates. Also, Sirius XM, channel 206. Sirius XM, channel 206. And on your phone, you can simply download the radio.com app, stream us on the CBS Sports app, Apple Music, or other places. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. And it's an Ask the Pros Day, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question, pick a question, any question, and send it to us by simply tweeting it at me, at DA on CBS. I'll be listening later on in the show. When we'll answer that question, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. MLB Players Weekend is coming up here. And that means that the players get to put their own specific nicknames on the back of their jersey. Think XFL 1.0 and He Hate Me. Baseball is allowing the players to show a little bit of personality on the back of their jerseys and with their cleats coming up in late August. And so now we have the full nicknames from every team, and some of them are good, and some of them are really bad. Now, let's ask the question, by and large, do you think this is a good idea? Mraz, is this a good idea to allow Major League Baseball players, who we oftentimes say are vanilla or anonymous, don't cut across popular culture, good idea to let them show their personalities with nicknames?
Yes, I personally don't like it, but for the growth of the game and young kids, yes, I think it's a good idea.
I generally agree, although I think it's pretty corny. I think that I'd like to see more of the development of the actual personalities of these guys by drawing people into their stories and their personalities and their backgrounds and their likes and dislikes. You know, just having a nickname on the back of a jersey is really two-dimensional, and I don't know if that really works. Like, let's go back to when I fell in love with baseball. I fell in love with baseball in the late 80s. I was a Mets fan. My family was a group of Brooklyn Dodgers fans that always hated the Yankees, and so they then went towards the New York Mets, the National League team in New York. And if Darryl Strawberry had straw on the back of his jersey, or Gooden had Dr. K in the back of his jersey, I don't know if that makes me fall in love with baseball anymore. I love those guys because they felt larger than life. I love those guys because the team felt larger than life. I love those guys because it seemed like the Mets were having fun playing baseball, and they were doing things like they were on Sesame Street, and they had milk commercials, and they seemed to cross over to pop culture. There's a famous picture on the internet of Keith Hernandez and Mookie Wilson with the Count from Sesame Street. Those were the things that really drew me in, and baseball cards. And I don't know if just simply it was, I didn't know anything about Dwight Gooden, but it said Dr. K on the back of his jersey. I don't know if that would have done anything more for me. They're posters where Doc Gooden has a flame behind his arm. Those things I could totally get behind as a 7, an 8, a 9, a 10-year-old kid. But if this helps a little bit, I'm all for it because I love the idea of kids falling in love with the baseball the same way that I did. But some of these are really corny. But let's start with some of the ones that I'm wondering if, Mraz, you think they're good or not because they have a food aspect to them, okay? Cincinnati Reds, Josh Van Meter is going with meat sauce.
You know you did, Damon! I like meat sauce.
You do?
Especially because it's a playoff of his last name already, and you don't hear that a lot. You hear saucy, maybe a tomato can, a meat sauce. Kind of makes me sound like you're going to hit a home run in that jersey.
Okay. I kind of like meat sauce as well. That feels like a nickname I would call somebody in high school, and so I'm down with meat sauce.
Hey, meat sauce, what are you doing for lunch?
San Diego Padres, Kirby Yates goes with Chubbs Sr. I guess his dog's name is Chubbs, so he's Chubbs Sr.
Oh, see, that's adorable. Treating your dog as if you're really a parent. You can relate. I like that.
You do. You like this. Well, I guess you love dogs and being a dog father.
And it's also kind of making fun of those who put senior on their jerseys after they have kids as well, so I like that.
Okay. Houston Astros. We have a Mraz, a Jake Mraznik. He went with Big Fudge.
Come on, you know what? I changed my stance.
I thought you didn't like Big Fudge. Pre-show meeting, you didn't like it.
Now that I hear it out loud again, you know what? Wear these jerseys all year round. Big Fudge is great.
You like Big Fudge.
I do like Big Fudge. I don't even know what it means, but the idea of just seeing somebody play baseball with the name Big Fudge on the back is great.
It sounds like it is a How I Met Your Mother reference.
Oh, that's funny because I saw every episode of the show and I don't even remember that.
Okay, so maybe it's not. I don't know. Gregory Polanco goes with L Coffee.
Stupid. I guess Mr. Was that mean Mr. Coffee or the Coffee?
Scott Barlow, Kansas City Royals, Scoots Magoots.
I hate when people do that stupid rhyming thing. Like, I have a couple friends who do it. It's so lame. What are you, a child?
Here's one that should hit all of the marks for you. It's for the Yankees, and it's about food. Giancarlo Stanton going with Parmesan Carlo.
Oh, really? How about you play a game first before you get a nickname jersey? No, I think it's stupid.
I knew that was coming.
If Giancarlo had 40 home runs at this point of the season, would you like Parmesan Carlo?
I guess I would because it's a run on. You got to ask. I'm sorry. I know that you're trying to hook me with the food. He's just such a stiff. I can't concentrate on him.
Mariners, Austin Adams goes with A squared. Brandon Brennan goes with B squared.
Dumb. You know what? Go back to the Big Fudge because these guys have lost me.
Shane Bieber, Cleveland Indians, not Justin.
That's a winner right there.
You like that.
That's a winner because he's playing off his last name and probably people ask him all the time when he has his last name. That's a good one.
And Topps, I think, just had a baseball card where it said Justin Bieber on it. Okay, you like that one.
Yes.
Ryan Helsley, St. Louis Cardinals, Hells Bells with Z's.
Oh, he did the Z's?
Yeah.
No.
Stupid. Michael Wacha. Whack-a-mole.
I like it. That's a good throwback. That game's not played enough, I don't think, anymore.
Yeah, I like that. Ken Giles for the radar gun heat he throws, 100 Miles Giles.
Leave that to like your fantasy baseball name. I don't need that on the back of your jersey. It's too running on, too. He Here's the other problem. These are nickname days. Does anybody actually call, like, does anybody call him 100 Miles Giles?
I don't know.
Nobody calls Stanton Parmigiano Carlo.
Parmigiano Carlo.
Right, Parmigiano Carlo.
Yasmani Grandal, Milwaukee Brewers, Yasmanian Devil.
That's fine. I can see people call him that, I think. So that's cool. Cute.
Okay, you're into it?
Yeah, I'm not into it, but I like it, I guess. It's kind of like how I feel about, I don't know, meatless nachos. Yeah, I'll get into them.
I believe, if I'm reading this correctly, for the Dodgers, Jed Jerko is going with Jerk Store.
Great reference. Great reference. Bilotti would hate it, but it's a great reference.
It's a Seinfeld reference.
Right.
Jed Jerko.
Mm.
Okay.
DA staying a lot up late nights watching the Dodgers games this year.
Okay. Andrew Knapp going with Nap Time.
I would have preferred a throwback if he called himself Napster.
Napster, okay.
Like the illegal music service.
Jordan Zimmerman going with Jay-Z.
Ugh. There's so much you could do there with a Zim. You go Jay-Z. I hate initial guy, like Antonio Brown with the AB. Initial guy stinks.
Kind of like, you know, DA.
Oh. I will raise up, and I didn't even think of that as it's coming out of my mouth. You know what? I love initial guy. Initial guy is great. I can't believe I didn't even think of that.
Quote, I hate initial guy.
Initial guy is the worst.
As the big circle logos flash in front of my head with the D and the A. I think I actually thought DA's name was DA for a second. Didn't think it was initials.
Chicago White Sox, Evan Marshall. Forgetting Sarah.
Yeah, like forgetting Sarah Marshall. Okay.
Yeah, we get it, Sean.
What are you talking? He's asking me to comment on the names.
I know.
Okay, finally, Hunter Pence. Hunter Pence, no words on the back. He does the emoji where you use all those characters to make the guy putting his hands up.
Come on.
With the questionable look on his face, like, I don't know what to do here. That thing that you see in emails.
No. You need a name, no emojis. How hard is it to put ants in my pants back there? I mean, there's no need for an emoji.
Ants in my pants? That's kind of long.
Yeah, I mean, who cares, though? Have fun with your last name, Pence. Don't do an emoji. How do you bring it to the jersey store and they even sew the emoji on there?
Apparently, Chad Bettis of the Rockies is putting just the lettuce emoji on the back.
And I think, maybe I'm assuming it's Felix Hernandez as a crown. I saw that yesterday, too, very quickly.
Emojis are stupid. They stopped being cool the moment all our parents started texting with them. You don't need them on the back of your jersey.
That's the best and the worst for Players Weekend. And just to go back, we hate initials guy. When we come back here on the DA Show, did the NCAA create a Rich Paul rule? We'll do that. Plus, we'll jump into your phone calls at 855-212-4227. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
I hate initial guy, like Antonio Brown with the AB. Initial guy stinks.
Kind of like, you know, DA.
Oh.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh. That show you've worked on for 7 years. 43 minutes past the hour, DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Watch the show at watchda.com. It's available anywhere on any device. It is streaming on your phone, on your laptop, on your PC, on your tablet, on your smart TV. Go to watchda.com. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. John is next up. He's in Baltimore, listening online, cbssportsradio.com. Good morning, John.
Hey, how you doing, DA?
I'm good. How you doing?
Great. I just want to let you know that I like your initials.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that.
I had a small marketing idea for the MLB to make this a little bit more exciting and not just like a lame make baseball fun again.
Okay.
Boy. that maybe they should have, like, you know, Monday Night Football, they have the little clips of all the people, all the players introducing themselves where they went to ball, where they went to school.
Right.
So they should have, maybe they should have the players say why they chose those nicknames.
That's a good idea. Yeah, that's a good idea. Give people a little background on why they chose the nicknames. I like it. Like I said, if it works to bring young people or the casual fan into it, I'm all for it. These are pretty corny for the most part, and I don't know if it's enough to draw people in, but hey, if it works, it works. In the NCAA, they have just passed a new rule, which is requiring sports agents to have a bachelor's degree. For agents looking to represent draft-eligible NBA prospects, there's been a new number of rules implemented, and one of those is having a bachelor's degree. Now, there's a couple of other restrictions and regulations around it, but at least one person, and a very important person, named LeBron James, thinks that this is targeted at his agent. Here's the prereqs for being an NCAA-certified agent. And the NBA and the NCAA work pretty closely with these types of certifications, obviously, because it's transitioning from college into the NBA. Prereqs. Number one, have a bachelor's degree. Number two, have an NBPA certified for at least three consecutive years and be in good standing. So you've got to be certified with the Players Association of the NBA for at least three consecutive years. Maintain professional liability insurance and submit the application by an appropriate deadline. So be in good standing with the Players Association for 3 years, have professional liability insurance, and have a bachelor's degree. Well, yesterday, LeBron James tweeted out the hashtag the Rich Paul rule, then followed it up with a tweet, can't stop, won't stop, they big mad and scared. That's what the kids say now, they big mad. Nothing will stop this movement and culture over here. Sorry, not sorry. There was a couple other players that joined in. Evan Turner tweeted the Rich Paul rule, shaking my head. Wilson Chandler, shout out to Rich Paul. And Kevin Hart, the comedian, because, of course, we want Kevin Hart's take on certification for NBA agents. The world is so afraid of groundbreakers. This is beyond sad and major BS. Keep shining, Rich Paul. This only makes you stronger. What you have built is unbelievable, champ. Hashtag the Rich Paul rule. Shame on you, NCAA. So I've been pretty outspoken about criticizing the NCAA for a lot of different reasons. I think they're woefully inadequate in terms of controlling what is happening within their sport. I think they're outdated, and I think that they talk out of both sides of their mouth, that they hide behind amateurism all the time while simply chasing dollar bills constantly. And they keep saying student-athlete, 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 but oftentimes don't do things in favor of the student athlete, do things in favor of the adults that are not student athletes. So I am one who has constantly dug in on the NCAA. They don't investigate their own stuff well enough. Their rules are arbitrary and antiquated. They don't invest nearly enough money into policing their sport. And they're run by wealthy old people that want to remain wealthy. They change, I mean, at a glacial pace. So I'm not one to defend them. But in this case, I have to say, I think the reaction that the NCAA is so shameful for instituting this because of Rich Paul is an overreaction. I really believe that. And here's why. Rich Paul is definitely viewed as an enemy, viewed as groundbreaking, but perhaps a revolutionary. I don't want to call him dangerous. I think that's the word, wrong adjective. But he can upset the apple cart in the NBA. He represents LeBron James. He represents Anthony Davis. He represents high-profile guys. And from LeBron kind of holding his organization's hostage, Rich Paul perhaps having too much control over things like the rest of the roster, who LeBron likes and doesn't like, coaching hires, assistant coaching hires, things like this. Having Anthony Davis essentially demand a trade midway through this season, it has scared a lot of people in the NBA. And Rich Paul came from a difficult background, a single-parent household, a low socioeconomic class, and connected with LeBron on that type of level. You know, Rich Paul hustled to make his first bucks. He was hustling, selling throwback jerseys out of the back of a truck. That's how he started. He was not born into wealth, not born into power, and didn't end up getting a college degree, much like LeBron James. LeBron and him are simpatico on this. They see the world alike, and LeBron trusts him in this way. And he's been a bit of a party crasher for the NBA and the way things have always been. Now, this is not just a race thing, because there are traditional agents in the NBA, like a B.J. Armstrong, who played in the NBA, who also is at the other end of agency and apparently doesn't like the way that Rich Paul handles his business. B.J. Armstrong is a guy that has done things the traditional way. Now, he did play in the NBA, but doesn't believe in kind of creating a ton of waves and holding organizations hostage, whatever. The player movement of player empowerment. But let's just for a moment, before we demolish the NCAA's intentions here, let's just for a moment just say, what happens if we trusted the NCAA for a moment? And I know that that's a dangerous precedent, but what happens if we did? And the NCAA said, look, we've got kids that will not have college degrees, and maybe kids that don't even step a foot on a college campus and go directly now from high school to the NBA. We want them protected by people that have a degree. We want them protected financially because we don't want this highway of NBA future stars littered with guys who went broke. Because the guys that they got in bed with, the agents, soaked them for everything that they were worth. We just had the Adrian Peterson story, where apparently Peterson had terrible advice, probably also terrible money management anyway, and is broke after earning $100 million in his NFL career and is playing for pennies at 34 years old, getting his brains beaten at running back in the NFL. Maybe the NCAA, honestly, and the NBA just doesn't want that, saying that now we're going to open up the door to just jumping right to the NBA, and we want guys protected by people that actually have, you know, some type of education. Now, agents usually have a background in finance, in money management, at least some certifications in that, and I don't think it's the worst idea in the world to make sure that players are protected by people that actually have degrees. Also, number two, is it that hard to get a bachelor's degree anymore? I mean, you can do this online from your home in a couple of semesters. You could probably stack your workload and get it done in like 2 years. If you've got to be certified to the NBA Players Association for 3 years, that's definitely enough time in that window. You can't represent a player going into the NBA for 3 years unless you're in good standing with the NBAPA. So that's going to be a three-year window. You could definitely do a bachelor's degree in that amount of time and never leave your house. I don't think this is that big a deal. Also, if let's just say my agency that I'm represented by had a rule that every sports media agent needs to have a bachelor's degree, I'd be like, that's probably a good idea. I don't think I'd want somebody that didn't have some type of education, secondary education. And I realize that there is a value for LeBron relating to Rich Paul, and that they came from the same tough background and the same one-parent household, and that they see the world a different way, and that there's a trust or a loyalty or something there. I totally get the value there. But does that go away if Rich Paul gets an online degree? Does that go away if Rich Paul in 2 years completes a Phoenix online degree? I mean, that I don't really see how this is preventing the Rich Pauls of the world from doing anything. Because I just think it's easier than ever. It's not saying you've got to go to an Ivy League institution. It's not saying, now I realize a lot of households and a lot of people don't have money to be able to go get a degree at a four-year university, live away from home. But if you're going to end up being an NBA agent and managing lots of money, I don't think it's that much to ask to have an investment to go get an online four-year degree if you're going to invest, let's say, $30,000 in that degree. You take out a loan to do so. If you're going to be managing millions of dollars, I don't know. I think it's an overreaction to say that this is shameful by the NCAA and they're trying to keep the Rich Pauls out of it. When we come back, Tom Brady house hunting.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.